I'm glad some of these things are dummy proof. Well, I can't even begin to tell you how much of a blessing it's been for us to be down here with you. I'm humbled very much so by all the hospitality and the generosity that you've shown. But I'm thankful most of all for the attentiveness to the preached word. I never claimed to be much of a preacher, and I don't fancy myself an evangelist. I don't fancy myself to be much of anything except really good at sinning and enjoying it and then putting the blood on it. Amen. 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 And that's about the only thing I've got good at. But I'm thankful for the advocate. I'm thankful that he's always there, and even when I get to a place where I feel like I can't get out, I don't have to worry about getting out because he's in there with me.
Yeah.
Amen.
That's good.
And I'm telling you, we're very blessed and very fortunate. I want to tell you something tonight. Now, again, I can't tell you how appreciative I am. The house has just been a blessing. It's just so comfortable over there. Just absolute wonderful accommodations, and Brother Chase and Miss Carla doing so much to make sure we stay fed and the church taking such good care. Brother Tommy and Miss Judy brought my little girl a big old tub of ice cream. And I told Chase, I said, you and Carla got to come over tonight and help us eat that, because that cannot go back to North Carolina with me. Yeah. So anyway, but I'm so thankful for all of y'all that's come out here every night. Some of you I ain't got to see. This is your first night. Hey, I hope God give you something tonight that'll help you. God certainly helped me this week. And now I'm not going to stand here and lie and not tell you that I don't feel the pressure of the moment and the pressure of the hour. There's a burden upon my soul right now, and I know it's the heaviness of the message that God's laid upon my heart to preach to you, because this is the last one of the meeting, generally the one that needs to carry with it the weight. We've done our best to encourage you. We want to encourage you. We've done our best to try to give you that reminder of hope in time of hopelessness. We've done our best to try to just help you to get a little challenge to your life and your relationship with Jesus Christ. But now we come to a very serious moment in our time here. I want to talk to you tonight by the help of the Lord that not every victory is going to come with spoils. Not every victory that you're going to have in this life are going to come with spoils. Go ahead and take your Bible and turn to Joshua chapter 7 tonight. And y'all pray for me now. Y'all pray for me. Ask God to help us in this matter. It's been a little while since I've gotten into the evangelistic game. I call it a game. I don't guess I should call it a game. But I ain't been in evangelism in quite a while. It's the first time I've had any kind of evangelistic opportunity to come and preach a meeting. And I hope I've done it a little bit of justice. I probably ain't. But I've learned that the evangelist's job is not to come into another person's church and try to straighten up their pictures. Joshua chapter 7, Brother Tommy. Joshua chapter 7. But the evangelist's job is not to come in and see where the pastor might have a picture or two that's not exactly square and come in and try to straighten the picture. That's not the evangelist's job. The evangelist's job is when he walks in the door and he sees the pastor up on a ladder leaning off to the side trying to put a screw in with a drill, but he's holding on. The evangelist's job is to prop another ladder up and say, let me put a little pressure on the back of that drill for you. I'm not trying to change what you're doing. I'm not trying to get you to do it a different way. I'm just trying to give you that little extra push that it's going to take to get that thing a little bit tighter.
Amen.
That's all I'm here to do. That's all I'm supposed to do. And I'm thankful for your pastor giving me the liberty to be able to do what God's led me to do. He hasn't come in here and said, now, brother, on the first night, I think you need to preach on this. And the second night, you need to do this. And third night. No, you know what he did? He didn't even tell me. I didn't know anything about anybody here. I don't know anything about your personal lives. I don't know what's going on. Some of you have shared some things with me since I've been here about things that's gone on in your lives. And through that, I've learned that God knows our needs and He takes care of them, even when I may not be aware. Listen, you couldn't find a more ignorant person than me. And for God to be able to take some of y'all and bring you and say, "Preacher, you've done so much to help us. Thank you." I'm telling you, that blesses my heart.
Amen.
And I'm thankful. And I'll tell you something else I'm thankful for is when I go back home now and I get in my prayer closet and I begin to pray for Brother Chase Massengill and Bluff Springs Baptist Church, I'm going to have a face that I can put. And when I'm listening to you each week and I hear some of y'all, when I hear Brother Mike, I'm going to know what Brother Mike looks like. Amen. I'm going to hear Brother Paul. I'm going to know Brother Paul. Well, you know what I'm going to remember about Brother? I'm going to remember that me and Brother Chase and our family was over there just sitting around enjoying me and Brother Chase fixing to go to the shop and have a nice little night. And there's a knock at the door. And here Brother Paul poke his head in. He said, "I just wanted to bring these young'uns. Brought three little ice cream sandwiches." Amen. That blessed my heart. Amen. Encourage me. Amen. And then Brother Tommy come walking in. He says, "I wasn't about to let that young'un not have no ice cream." And here he's got a gallon tub of ice cream. What is that? That's just God's people trying to be a blessing.
Amen.
Went out to Brother Mark's house and went out there and got to put a hot dog or two in a little water and try to catch a little fish. He come out there on the golf cart and I ain't trying to draw attention to folk, but I'm just telling you, God uses people to be a blessing. Y'all think I've come down here to be the blessing. You don't know how much each one of y'all has blessed me. Just encouraging me. I mean, listen, I've got revived in my spirit too. I'm going to be going back to my church and it's going to be, listen, it seems like this is zipped by. These 4 days is just, and they're done and over with. But it's going to seem an eternity before I can get back in my pulpit again. Because I'm going to be ready to get back. One of my men called me and he's laid up at home and he's sick and got to COVID. And he called me and he said, "Preacher, I'm thankful God's using you. I'm praying for you down there in Mississippi, but I want my preacher back."
Amen.
Now, if they had called Brother Chase and said, "Keep him as long as you need him." Then I'd have been like, and my wife's sitting here looking at me, and they would have put a stipulation: keep him as long as you need him, but send the wife and the daughter back. We'll take them. You, we don't need so much. Amen.
Amen.
Joshua chapter 7. Stand with me, if you will, one more time. Just one more time as we honor the reading of God's Word. We want to read the first 12 verses of the chapter. I know that may be a little bit of reading, but I want you to stand with me because I know this is going to be the last time I'm going to get to share God's Word with you until the Lord maybe call us home or the next time I get to come and see you. I don't know.
Yeah, that's right, my brother.
But I want you to look and see what he says here. This is a familiar chapter. You ought to know where we're at. But in chapter 7, verse 1, it says, "But the children of Israel committed a trespass in the accursed thing, for Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, took of the accursed thing, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against the children of Israel. Joshua sent men from Jericho to Ai, which is beside Bethaven, on the east side of Bethel, and spake unto them, saying, Go up and view the country. And the men went up and viewed Ai. And they returned to Joshua and said unto him, Let not all the people go up, but let about 2,000 or 3,000 men go up and smite Ai, and make not all the people to labor thither, for they are but few. So there went up thither of the people about 3,000 men, and they fled before the men of Ai. And the men of Ai smote of them about 36 men. For they chased them from before the gate even unto Shebarim, and smote them in the going down. Wherefore the hearts of the people melted and became as water. Joshua rent his clothes and fell to the earth upon his face before the ark of the Lord until the eventide. He and the elders of Israel, and put dust upon their heads. And Joshua said, Alas, O Lord God, wherefore hast thou at all brought this people over Jordan to deliver us into the hand of the Amorites to destroy us?" Boy, easy to blame God whenever you get in a pickle, ain't it? It's easy to. We ain't supposed to, but it is. "Would to God we had been content and dwelt on the other side of Jordan. Notice that first generation mentality.
That's right.
Israel, first generation, didn't go into the promised land. Why? Because they wanted to stay in the would to God we'd stayed in Egypt. There was leeks and garlic and onions and all kinds of goodies back there. It's funny how they don't remember the whip.
That's right.
They don't remember the captivity and the lash and the beatings. They don't remember any of that. But Joshua here, he can't get away from that first generation mentality. And that same tendency is in each of us.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 8, O Lord, what shall I say then when Israel turneth their backs before their enemies? For the Canaanites and all the inhabitants of the land shall hear of it and shall environ us around and cut off our name from the earth. And what wilt thou do unto thy great name? And the Lord said unto Joshua, Get thee up. Wherefore liest thou upon thy face?
Amen.
Israel hath sinned. They've also transgressed my covenant, which I commanded them. For they have even taken of the accursed thing, and have also stolen, and dissembled also, and they've put it even among their own stuff, trying to hide it in plain sight. Therefore the children of Israel could not stand before their enemies, but turned their backs before their enemies, because they were accursed. Neither will I be with you any more, except you destroy the accursed from among you. Let's bow our heads tonight for a word of prayer. Now, Father, I'm coming before you in the name that's above every name. Father, understanding that in and of myself, I have nothing to offer. And Father, if we do anything outside of the Spirit of God that covers us with the blood of the Lord Jesus, Lord, it's all for naught.
Yes.
I'm asking, Father, one more time, would you put your hand upon your servant? Father, I don't deserve it. I certainly don't deserve your presence in here as we felt it tonight. And Lord, how you've blessed us over this previous week. We're so gracious. Lord, you've been so gracious to us. And Father, our hope and our prayer is that one more time you might lay your hand upon us as we endeavor to preach that which has been laid upon our hearts. Father, have your will and way. Set thine guard before the door of our lips, that we say nothing contrary to your word nor to your will.
Yes.
And Father, open the hearts and the minds of those that they may be attentive to what thus saith the Lord. And Father, we pray, as it was prayed in Revelation, Lord, that we would hear. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches.
Yes.
And in these last days, Lord, would you speak to us still?
Yes.
For Father, there are still people that desire to hear from you.
Amen.
We love you, and I love you, and I plead the blood upon myself and each and every one here. And we pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. I appreciate that. I want you to notice that it's not necessarily something, it's not God that put a curse on Israel. They're a blessed people. He said, I'll bless him that blesseth thee and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. Israel got a curse on themselves because of something they brought in, not because of something God put on them.
That's right.
Oftentimes the target we set on ourselves doesn't come because we've allowed, because God's put something on us. It's because we've brought something in we had no business taking.
That's exactly right.
Now when it comes to having victory, and God gives victory, but the thing is when it comes to having victory, and the Bible says we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. And how can you be conquerors without a battle?
Right.
How can you expect to be a conqueror if there is no fight? But I'm telling you tonight that in the days ahead, especially considering that for just a few short days we've had the blessing and opportunity to get a breath of fresh air, we have to go back into the fight.
Right.
There's still a battle going on. There's still a struggle to be raging. But I want to tell you that God is still going to bring victories about. He's still going to bring His grace. He's still going to bring all of His care. And we can still cast our care on Him because He cares for us. But listen, beloved, the thing we've got to get through our minds, especially in the days approaching us of unknowns, that not every victory is going to come with spoils. Many who go through battle and they end up with a victory, they oftentimes get the blessing of coming away with something. some memento, some sort of a trophy. I mean, sports teams win a championship, they get trophies, or they give them a ring or something to commemorate this great victory, this great overcoming, just all different things. But listen, it's not always that case with a child of God in spiritual warfare. Oftentimes the only thing that the child of God comes away with to remind them of the victory God gave them is the scars they got through the fight. Sometimes you look down at the hands and you look down. I mean, each one of us in here that has been, y'all are all, I mean, I'm assuming y'all are all from around here. You raised up in the country and you, I mean, even girls got out and did a bunch of stuff outside. I mean, got out and rode bicycles. They played ball. And listen, if you ever did anything like that, you can look at your legs, your hands, your arms. You've got scars. Yeah. Telling stories about different things that happened through your life.
That's right.
But the places we can't see, Brother Mike, are the inside scars that sometimes are left by the spiritual battles, Brother Paul. That sometimes nobody else can see, but God Almighty knows they're there. And every time He looks upon them, and although people may look at a scar as a blemish, Brother Chase, and something that takes away from the beauty of a thing, the Lord looks upon it and He says, "That's beautiful to me." Because it shows that they came through a battle and I gave them the victory, and they didn't expect some kind of an accolade from the world. See, sometimes we get in the position like the little kid who's gone to the doctor's office because he's got hurt. And he goes into the doctor's office and he's got a cut or a scrape or something on his knee or on his elbow. I mean, you know the vulnerable places they generally wind up. And he gets in there and the doctor cleans him a little bit, and the little boy, he's just making a fuss. Oh, he's making such a fuss. And the doctor says, "Buddy, I don't know what you're fussing about. I ain't even went and got no iodine yet." Because we're going to put some of that red stuff on there, and you really going to start hopping. Amen. Some of you young folk don't know what iodine is. Get you a scrape and let's find some. You're talking about making a move now. But you know what happens after he puts that iodine on there and he cleans that thing up and he puts a bandage on it? Now you can't see the scrape anymore. But you know the only thing that young one wants is, now that the pain's over, now that the trouble's over, where's my lollipop? And see, sometimes the Christian gets in that sort of a situation or in that sort of mindset. I've went through a little something. I've got the victory and that's over and the pain's done for the time being. Where's my lollipop? When the reason they were in the doctor's office was probably because of their own foolishness anyway.
Yeah, that's right.
I got myself into this predicament. I got myself into this problem. But God in His mercy and in His grace brought me through it. And now I want some sort of an accolade so that I can sit here and say, "I came through."
Yeah.
I made it.
That's right.
The modern Christian sometimes gets in that place. In 1832... a man named William Marcy penned the phrase, "To the victor belong the spoils." The thing about spoils is they don't go to the person to whom the victory was given. It goes to the person who gave the victory. Amen.
Amen.
Just think about that for a second now. It doesn't go to the person who receives victory. It goes to the person who gave the victory.
That's right.
And if you're in here tonight, you're all victors in some form or fashion, but no victory you've ever went through in this Christian life came because you got the victory. It's because victory was given to you. One of my favorite songs, Brother Chase, "Victory was won at Calvary. Victory that gave me liberty. Now I can live eternally. Victory was won at Calvary." You know the reason you and I are sitting here today, heaven bound with the hammer down, our name in the Lamb's Book of Life, feet on the rock, name on the roll. You know why we're in that situation? It ain't because of us. It's because He gave us a victory.
Amen.
He took the fight on Himself and He won the fight. And then He turned around and gave us the victory. He said, "I'm giving this to you." You know why? You couldn't do it yourself. You couldn't do it yourself. When your desire is to who it was that got you out, you don't need no accolades. You don't need no spoil. When your heart's desire is toward the one that got you out, you don't need anything to show. I mean, you look over at a couple of different examples, and I'm going to give you a few tonight. Try not to be too awful long, but you look over at David, and here he was, one of the greatest types of Christ in your Old Testament, and David goes out in 1 Samuel chapter 17 to the Valley of Elah.
That's right.
And he's not trying to test the Lord, because the Lord in chapter 16 had him anointed to be the next king. But David goes out into the Valley of Elah, and he's there to do an errand for his father. He's about the father's business. And he goes out, and in the process of being about the father's business, he hears this giant blaspheming the name of the God of the armies of Israel. And something was stirring in his crawl, because nobody was doing anything about it.
That's right, my brother.
And you know what happens during the story. He goes down, he takes Saul's armor, he puts it off. He said, I've not proved it. You know why he had to take Saul's armor and put it off of him? Because Saul was looking to get some credit that he didn't deserve. What are you talking about? Well, see, if he'd have put Saul's armor on and went out in that armor, then Saul would have had a couple. He had a win-win. Either David would have went out there and he'd have died, in which Saul would have said, I did the best I could to equip him.
Yeah.
I did the best I could to get him ready. It wasn't me that didn't do it right. It was him that didn't use the equipment the way he should have. Or David would have succeeded, and Saul would have been praised as the one who gave up his own safety in order that this young man would have the protection he needed. But to the people who weren't right there involved in the situation, but up on the hillside watching from a distance, if they'd have seen David go down in that armor, and then David would have got the victory, nobody would have known that there was somebody aside from the king inside that armor. Because the king's armor was always distinct from other people in the army.
That's right.
And here David would have been walking down there and got the victory over this giant, but everybody would have been shouting praise. Man, the king got him! How do you know? Man, he looks a little short today. Yeah, but that's the king's armor. There's no doubt that's got to be the king. Who else would be wearing the king's armor?
That's right.
But David put them off of him. He says, I can't use these. I've not proved them. But he took what he had proved.
That's right.
He took a sling.
That's right.
He took five stones. And he took a shepherd's bag.
That's right.
And listen, there was so much that went into this that time wouldn't allow for me to tell you everything that went on. But listen, here David goes down to this brook and he reaches down, he gets these stones, and these stones are just not random stones. They've been proven.
Yes, they have.
They've been proven by the test of time. I don't know if you've ever looked at a map or seen any of the map. I encourage you, go look at that thing. The Valley of Elah, big old place.
Yeah.
And it's got a little river, and it's about dried up now, but there's still a little creek bed running down through there.
Yeah.
And you look in that little creek bed, and there's all kinds of them little smooth river stones still in there. And I think about that, and I think about the trying that those stones had to go through, being way up on that mountain up there, and they had to come through that stream all the way down, tossed and turned, flipped and flopped. And then when they finally came to a resting place in the sandy bottom of that little valley down there, the water washed over them, and the sand washed over them, and filed them down to where they were the right size, they were the right shape, they had the right consistency, so that when a man of God got a hold of them and sent them toward a giant, no wind was going to cause it to curve this way or that way. It was going to be a straight shooter.
Amen.
Is anybody in here a baseball fan?
Amen.
Y'all like watching baseball? All right, did anybody here ever enjoy playing baseball?
Amen.
There was a drill whenever I was in high school that we used to use, and it was always a drill that was set up to help the outfielder become very proficient at getting that ball to home plate, and they called it relay.
That's right.
And you'd have four or five guys in a straight line. And the guy on the end stand there, and he'd take that ball and he'd whip it to the next guy in line. That guy'd catch it and he'd whip it to the next guy in line. He'd catch it, whip it to the next guy in line. And down through there they'd go. And the faster you got it down there, the better it was. And I sit there and see that little old fella with that sling in his hand, and he's back there and he said, I'm fixing to lay you out, buddy. And he starts swinging that thing around, and as he turns that stone loose, the angel of the Lord grabs it, got it. Bam! Goliath standing there saying, oh man, come on.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yep.
And the angel of the Lord says, all right. Whop! Boy, I tell you. But you know what you don't see? You don't see David walk over, stand on the giant and go...
That's right, my brother.
He reaches in that harness of that old big rascal and he pulls that sword out and he draws back and he laid that head off for him.
Amen.
And then he stood there with that sword in his hand, and you know what else he didn't do? He didn't grab Saul's head and go, yes! Look at what I've done! No, the Bible says that the Philistines fled because of fear, and David led the charge to go fight the rest of them and run them down.
Amen.
While Saul's standing back there on his tent going... Well, what do you know about that?
Yeah.
You know, that's the way a lot of the world is when they see a Christian go through something and God delivers them. And they go through that thing and they go through that thing and they're watching that Christian and they're watching them. I told you the other night that when pressure comes, that's when the microscope begins to get real concentrated. And buddy, when they see God bring you through and then they see you not standing there going, yes, look at what I have been able to accomplish. And then they sit there and go, what's wrong with them? Because there's something inside of you that's not inside of them. Because your mind is fixated on the one that gave the deliverance. It's not fixated on you. You don't need the accolades.
Right. Amen.
Amen. But you know what? David kept that sword. But he didn't keep the head of Goliath.
Right.
He kept the sword. But it was as a reminder. He kept the sword as a... You know, every once in a while, the Lord will let you have something from that battle to keep you reminded of Him delivering you the victory.
Yeah.
I'll tell you, even though David was... He grew a little more. And I mean, he was a young man when he faced Goliath. But as he grew, he began to get... I'm sure he got stronger and he got taller and he got a little more broad. I mean, he was a soldier. And I'm sure he became more fit for battle the older he became and the further into the service of the kingdom he became, especially when he took the crown. He was still a warrior.
Yeah.
But I wonder if as a little old boy in that backside of the hills of Judea when he took Goliath down for the first time in the Valley of Elah and he went to pick that sword up, it was just... Good grief. Yeah! To the day that he got run out of the kingdom by Saul and he's trying to get away and he goes to the priest's temple and he says, hey, I had to go on the king's errand and I'm in a big hurry. I didn't even bring my sword. What have you got? He said, well, the sword of Goliath... of Gath that you slew, it's over yonder. We've kept it over here. That's all we got. If you want it, take it. And I think David walked over there and he hadn't seen it in a while.
Mm-hmm.
And he looks at it and he just takes a few minutes and he just looks at it. And boy, mine begins to flash back.
Yeah.
And as he reaches and he puts his hand around the shaft of that sword and he begins to pick it up, he sits there and he shakes it and he gets a feel for it. And he says, that ain't as heavy as I remember. Because as time goes on and those battles become further in the distance, you begin to look and see, I really can't cast all my care upon Him.
That's right, brother.
I really can put all that. He really did mean it when He said, come unto me all you that labor and are heavy laden and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon my burden. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. That sword ain't nearly as heavy as I remember it being.
Right.
That's right,
sometimes God gives you a reminder. You go over to Acts 27 and you see about Paul and he goes over there and he gets in the midst of a shipwreck. He's a prisoner. He's bound.
That's right.
And they put him on that ship and they're sailing off.
That's right.
And down there at about halfway down, I see it in my Bible. Go to Acts chapter 27. It's in the right hand column, left hand page, all the way at the bottom. It says it names that storm. It calls it Euroclidon. It's the only time in the Bible you read about a storm given a name. Must have been some kind of storm.
Yeah.
And here's Paul, and he's going through all that stuff, and he's going through all those battles, he's going through all that stuff, and yet he stands there on the deck of that ship when everybody else is panicked, and he said, don't be afraid. Because you know what? He said, I've already had a meeting with the angel of the Lord, and he said, there ain't going to be no loss of anybody's life, just the ship.
Yeah.
That's right.
Can I point something out to you that's a little bit specific? Paul didn't get anything out of that experience like David got out of his. Paul went through the shipwreck, and whenever he did, the only thing he come out of it with, Brother Chase, was the souls of the people on board with him. And I'll tell you something else. Whenever he got on shore, his reward for his obedience and going through that shipwreck was he was trying to help somebody, Brother Tommy.
That's right.
Trying to help somebody. He was going through something.
That's right.
Don't you know he was cold? Don't you know he was sore? Don't you know he had the weight of where he was headed? I got to go to Rome.
Mm-hmm.
I've still got to go there and I've still got to go before Caesar.
Right.
And all that was still going back in his mind. But he took a few minutes and he said, them folks over there is absolutely froze sap to death. I mean, it's cold out here.
Amen.
And we just spent a night and a day out there on that water. 14 days we were in that storm.
Right.
And he reaches down, he gathers up a big old bunch of sticks. And there's a little old flicker of a flame over there. And he says, I'm going to add a little bit to that. I'm going to help these folks get warm. He lays that bundle of sticks down, and don't you know when he picked that bundle of sticks up and he was walking over, don't you know that that rascal was curled up in that bunch the whole time?
Yeah.
But it didn't come out and put its teeth into Paul's hand until he laid the sticks on the fire.
That's right.
And sometimes when you go through the fight, you go through the battle, and God builds that fire up in your soul, the viper is going to come out when you build the fire.
Right. Amen.
Sometimes there's a danger in building a fire.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's dangerous to build a fire. He didn't come out till the fire got on him.
That's right.
And when Paul come out on the other side of that thing, you know the only thing he had to show for it was a couple of puncture wounds in his hand.
Mm-hmm, yeah. That's right.
That's all he had.
Yeah.
Nobody there to give him accolades.
That's right.
In fact, whenever they left the island of Melita, you know what happened? He's still bound.
Yeah.
He's still bound.
That's right, brother.
Not every victory is going to come with spoils.
That's right.
You got the brother Chase was up here. I got to talking about it, and I about said, hey, hit the brakes, preacher. You're going to preach my message. But you get over in the book of Daniel, and there's three Hebrew boys over there.
That's right, bro. Amen.
Amen. Me and Chase talked a little bit about a message I thought I was going to get to preach last night. I didn't get to preach it. I was going to preach last night on be careful with your expectations. But the Lord wouldn't let me preach it. And He gave me the one we preached last night, and I feel like that was the Lord's will. People seem to get something from it. But the three Hebrew boys that wouldn't bow went into the fire.
Yeah.
And you know, when they came out, they could have come out going, man, woo, it was hot in there.
Yeah, yeah.
Woo, boy, let me tell you, smell my shirt there, Brother Mike. I'm going to tell you. You smell that brimstone, that sulfur, boy, it was hot in there. The Lord took away their reason for bragging because when they come out, they wasn't even a smell of smoke on them.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen.
They walked out and they told the king even before they went in there, they said, be it known, we ain't going to bow. Even if he don't deliver us, we ain't going to bow.
That's right.
They came out and they didn't have anything except for the fact that when they went in, they were bound.
Yeah.
And when they came out, they weren't.
How about that, bro?
But I think as they were walking out, I mean, these three Hebrew boys, you got to know they were friends. They were close and they were tight-knit. They had prayer meetings together. I mean, it even says in Daniel that them and Daniel would get together and have prayer meeting.
That's right. That's
Daniel getting ready to go interpret Nebuchadnezzar's dream. And before he did, he got all them boys in there. They said, now we got to pray about this thing.
That's exactly right.
Amen.
And as they getting out, as I see them and they're in there in that furnace and they're like,
Yeah.
Stand up a little bit. And, oh, wasn't we bound when we came in here?
Yeah.
Like, yeah. Oh, okay. I know him.
Yeah.
Amen.
There you go. That's the one.
Had a few minutes fellowship. I can see him walking over. He says, boys, come over here. And as he got them all together, he got them in a circle right there, and he just brought them all in there, and I could see all of them there touching head to head to head. He's in there. He says, I've been in here the whole time. I've been waiting on you. Boy, isn't it a blessing to know that even when you got to go into fire, He'll wait on you. He'll wait on you in there. And as they're getting ready to walk out, He said, now boys, I know y'all need to get out of here now. Y'all need to go on. You got some testifying to do. But I'm going to stay here.
Yeah.
Because there's going to be somebody else that's going to have to come in here. I'm going to stay in here because Mike's going to have to come in here one day.
That's
Brother
right,
Paul's going to have to come in here one
That's
day.
That's right.
Amen. Miss Chris is going to have to come in here one day.
That's right, brother.
Brother Tommy, Miss Jude, they're going to have to come in here one day. Amen. Blood Springs by the church, they're going to have to come in here one of these days, and they're going to need me to stay in here.
Yeah.
And as that door opened up and them three boys walked out, I almost wonder if the last one out the door didn't turn around and go,
yeah. Yes.
Nebuchadnezzar's looking at him going, but then he catches a glimpse.
Yeah.
Didn't we throw three in there? Yeah. Well, there's four in there, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God.
Yes, sir.
You know, the thing about it is, whenever they come out of the fire, the ones on the outside of the furnace knew exactly who it was that got them through.
Yeah, they did.
They knew exactly who it was that got them through. Said, the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. And then he goes to giving them accolades.
That's right.
But you know, they wasn't looking for it when they come out. Because not every victory comes with spoils. Let's look at one or two more, and then we'll move on. Well, they had prayer meeting with their old buddy Daniel, because here in a little bit, Daniel was going to be facing a little bit of trial of his own. Because the king makes a decree. He says, ain't nobody going to be a praying to nobody but me for the next 30 days. And Daniel says, I'm afraid I can't do that. And every day he went up to the top of the house up there and opened the window toward Jerusalem, and he got on his knees and began to pray. And I believe that that's the only reason, Brother Chase, that in chapter 9 that he said, I understood by books the years. I don't think God would have delivered it to him if he'd have quit praying.
That's right.
I don't know that he'd have given him that revelation. I think he'd have just sat there and said, well, then you're just going to have to trust me to let you know when the thing's going to be over with.
Yeah.
But amen. Daniel's down there and he refuses to pray, or refuses to quit praying. And they finally, they get him, they come and they bind him, and the king's sorrowful that he's got to do it, but he signed the decree, he sealed it with his seal, and they drop Daniel in the lion's den. And it's dark in there. And it's cold in there. And Daniel, he can't see anything. But he can hear the low rumbling growl of that lion. The one over there in 1 Peter 5:8 where he says he's the roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. And as he hears that low rumble in the deep chest of that mighty beast whom God has created, and he's been placed in that pit so that he may destroy anything that gets dropped in there, I think Daniel, I honestly, truthfully, it doesn't say this, but I honestly think Daniel said, this is what got me in here. And if this is what's going to get me out, I'm going to keep doing it.
Yeah.
I'm not going to quit it just because it got me in here.
Right.
Because if it gets me in here, surely it can get me out.
Amen.
That's right, brother.
I think the Lord come right down and sat down. Yeah. Sat there right there. He said, hey, preacher. Hey, Lord. So how you doing, preacher? Well, Lord, I wasn't expecting this, but you know, here we are. I'm not going to ask you to change my circumstances. Lord, maybe you can just change me.
Yeah, that's good.
Whatever happens, happens. If you take me from being Daniel, which is God as our judge, if you want to change my name to Daniel, a.k.a. Lion Chow, well, then that's fine.
Yeah.
Lord says, you tired? Lord, I'm war slap out. He said, come on over here and sit down. He said, hey, Simba.
Yeah.
Get over here. Lay down next to that preacher right there.
That's right.
Give him something to lay on.
Yeah.
Thank you. Says, hey, you.
Yeah.
Come over here. Quit licking your chops. You ain't getting a taste.
That's right.
He's mine.
That's right.
What gave him that authority? He says, I'm the Lion of the tribe of Judah.
That's right.
Come on over here.
Amen.
Lay down next to that preacher. He's cold. Hey, you, come over here. Prop that preacher's feet up.
Yeah.
Let the blood get back to his heart where it'll start pumping and get some strength going again.
Yes, sir.
And Daniel lays there in the dark, feeling the closeness of that which only God can control.
Yes, sir. Amen.
And as he lays his ear on the chest of that mighty beast that at a moment's notice could turn around and just devour him,
He
hears that old heartbeat. Boom. Boom.
Yeah.
And the Lord said, lo, I am with you always.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Amen.
Daniel didn't come out of there. Daniel didn't reach up there and snatch him a lock of fur.
Right.
He didn't reach in the bottom of there and feel for a tooth.
That's right.
I want to take that with me, boy.
Yeah.
I'm going to put that on a necklace and they're all going to say, what did you get that from? Man, I survived the lion's den.
Yeah, that's right.
Mm-mm. He laid there until the king come the next morning. And said, Daniel, servant of the Most High God.
Yes, sir.
Was God able to do it?
Yes, sir.
Was God able? He said, my God hath sent his angel.
Yes.
And shut the mouth of the lion.
Amen.
Boy, I'm going to tell you, that old roaring lion seeking whom he may devour, he can snarl, he can slobber, he can lick his chops waiting on the kill. But until God tells him he can open his mouth, all he can do is sit and purr.
Amen.
That's exactly right, brother.
But not every victory is going to come with spoils.
That's right.
Jonah, into the whale's belly because of his own foolishness. Amen. Just like that little youngin going to the doctor's office. Jonah's in the whale's belly because of his own foolishness. Boy, ain't you been there? Amen. I may be the only one. Went into the whale's belly because of his own foolishness. And when he come out, the only thing he had to show for it was everything that he got covered in when he was in the whale's belly.
Yeah, that's right.
I mean, you know, any of y'all with weak stomachs, you know, here's a big old fish. And there he is. Now, every one of y'all that just turned your head, I know, I've got you. I'm marking you down. All right? Woo! I know who to get on whenever I need to. My wife's one of them, so I didn't have to guess for that one. I don't get to do that too much, so when I do, I take advantage of it. But the only thing he had to show for his time was what he got covered in.
That's right, my brother.
Sometimes the only thing that you and I have when we finally come to terms with God's way of doing things is just the stuff we get covered.
That's right, bro.
He walked into Nineveh, and I almost wonder if they were sitting there looking at him, what in the world is that?
Yeah.
My stars. He looks like a preacher. Smells like something else. But boy, there was a countenance and a fire about that man.
That's right, man.
That even though he was covered in what was was the remnants of his time and God's judgment.
Yeah.
Amen. And sometimes when you come out, you're going to have that remnants on you.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Very rarely if I went to the woodshed that I didn't come back with a little bit of evidence that I'd been in the woodshed.
Yeah, that's right.
Other people may not see it.
Yeah.
But it's there.
Yeah. That's right.
My daddy was a patriot. He laid the stripes on and I seen the stars. Amen. We's over talking to a lady. Me and Chase was over talking to a lady at the store yesterday afternoon, getting a little lunch. And Chase talked to that woman about whooping the youngins. I said, "Man, I got one on a daily basis just for measure." She said, "Really?" I said, "I come home from school one day and my daddy got me across his knee and whooped my butt. When I said, 'Daddy, what was that for?' He said, 'Something I ain't caught yet.'" He did it another time. I didn't tell you this one. He did it another time and said, "That's for you thinking about doing something." Now, some of y'all child activists that don't want your kids getting whooped, you know, you're going to say, "Oh, my Lord, look at the evidence. He's warped as he can be." That ain't because of the whoopings. Amen. Why do people do things?
Drive, bro.
And they risk life and limb only to come out on the other end of it so they can say, "Look what I did."
Yes.
What is it that provokes a teenager to jump off a 40-foot rock cliff into a bunch of water that there's rocks under there that they could easily hit and die solely so they can come up out of the water and go, "Woo!"
Yeah, that's right.
What is it about... Hey, I used to race four-wheelers. And Brother Chase opened his barn and I seen one. And it was one size bigger than the one I had. He got a Honda 400 EX.
Yeah.
And I had a 300. And that thing would move. And when I saw that thing, I came this close to saying, "Can we please ride it?" Now, even if he'd have said, "Brother, the battery's dead. It's a clutch. It will roll off. We will get that thing cranked." Boy, the old me started just, "Woo, I'm going to show you some tricks." I used to get out there and ride that thing. Boy, I'd hit them tabletop jumps and I'd be 15 feet up in the air and a buddy of mine be underneath me with a video camera going, "Woo!" One time we even had a trick where I jumped one time and I reached under the four-wheeler and slapped him high five as I went down and landed that thing. Why do we do junk like that? So that we can get off of it and say, "Woo! Look Look at me. Look at me. We'll risk life and limb just to get a little attention on ourselves. We'll risk our own health, our own safety, our own reputation, just so we can stand there and hold a hand up in the air for 5 seconds of fame. When all the while there's a battle of eternal significance going on in which Christians are falling by the multitudes because God's just looking for somebody to say, it wasn't me, it was Him. I don't need spoils. I don't need accolades. I don't need rewards. I don't need anybody to see anything in my possession that says I came through this. Just the simple fact that I'm sitting on a church pew on a Wednesday night listening to the Word of God is testimony enough that God has been good to me.
Amen.
That He has brought me through. That He has carried me. That I've been through battles. Yes, I have scars. Do you see them all? No, you don't. Some of them you may know about, but you don't see how deep some of them go. You don't see how that at night sometimes they begin to fester and they begin to hurt and they begin to aggravate just a little bit. Even though they may be an old scar, they still get a little sensitivity every once in a while. And God comes down in the middle of the night. God comes down when nobody else is around and He puts His arms around me and He says, I've still got you. Keep holding on.
Amen. Amen.
Absolutely.
Keep holding on. When God brings you through the battle, that ain't the time to stand there and say, it's me. Look at me. See, Achan, he got Israel in trouble. He got Israel in trouble for not giving God what was His. Israel got victory over Jericho and the Lord told him, don't you touch anything in there because mine are the first fruits.
That's right.
I get the first fruits. See, if you read about the rest of the battles that followed Jericho, every time they went in there and defeated somebody, they went in and got all the spoils.
Right.
It was just the one time the Lord said, those are my spoils.
That's right.
But a man decided to take what belonged to God as his own. He got selfish.
That's right. Amen.
And when he did, he ended up not only costing himself, and in that it cost him his life, his family, and their lives, everything he had, but 36 other families didn't have daddy coming home.
That's right, bro.
Big brother didn't get to come home from AI. Mm. My son didn't come home from AI. Big brother, little brother didn't come home. 36 mamas that were going to raise their babies on their own. Amen. 36 daddies who wasn't going to have their strapping son to help them till the ground in the new inheritance.
Right, that's right.
Why? Because one man decided he needed the spoils.
Yeah.
Instead of letting God have the spoils and wait for God to give them what He wanted them to have.
Amen.
Get your Bible, turn to Ephesians 6. I'm closing right here. Brother Chase, I ain't even looked at my watch. I don't know what time it is. I don't have a clue. I'm trying to be mindful. I have not went as long as I thought I have. Ephesians chapter 6. Oh yeah, I got plenty of time.
Amen.
This is the last night and y'all ain't going to hear from me for a while, so I'm going to make it count.
Go ahead, brother.
Ephesians 6. Now you ought to know where we are. This ought to be familiar.
Yes.
Because you start off, this is the chapter on Christian warfare, and you look at the first part of what he says in verse 10. What does he say? Finally, my brethren, here we are, we're at the conclusion of the matter.
Right.
Be strong in who?
The Lord.
And in the power of whose might?
His
might. Back up and get 2 Corinthians quickly, very, very quickly. 2 Corinthians and get chapter 3. Strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. But look at what he says in 2 Corinthians chapter 3. When you find it, I want you to look down at verse 5. He says, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God.
Amen.
David out on the hillsides of Elah. Thou comest to me with a sword and a spear and a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord.
Amen.
Paul, he says, I don't care if they kill me. I don't care if they stone me. I don't care. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. For me, it's far better to live as Christ, to die as gain. But it's better for me if I stay. However, if I go back in there and they kill me again, it don't matter to me. Why? Because I know whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded that He's able to keep that which I've committed to Him against that day.
Amen.
And that's what he tried to encourage him over in Philippians. He said, He that hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. The three Hebrew boys, even if we perish in that fire, we're still not going to bow. We're still not going to bow. Daniel, I'm not going to quit getting on my knees, even if it means I get fed to the one who's seeking whom he may devour. I'm not going to quit praying.
Amen.
I'm not going to stay off my knees. I'm going to get on my knees. Even if I can't get on them physically, I'm going to get on them spiritually, and I'm going to be there every day.
Amen.
I'm not going to quit just because I'm not seeing fruits of my victories in this life right now.
Yeah.
I'm not going to quit.
Amen.
I'm not going to quit. It's a spiritual battle, beloved. Amen. It's not a physical. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. God is a spirit, and that's a spiritual battle you're fighting.
Amen.
You got a captain who, according to Exodus chapter 15, the Bible says, is a man of war. And if you go over to 2 Timothy and you read over there in chapter 2 and verse 3, he has an army that's made up of soldiers who are told to endure hardness as good soldiers of Jesus Christ. The fight's a good fight according to 2 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 12. He says, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold of it on eternal life. It's a good fight. It's a fight, but it's a good fight.
Yes, it is.
Paul, he says over in 2 Timothy 4, he said, I have fought a good fight. You know what he said before he said that? He says, for I am now ready to be offered. As opposed to what? What he told him in Romans 12.
Yeah.
I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service.
Amen.
And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Based upon that, Paul says, I am now ready to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand. Can I ask you a question tonight? Are you ready to die?
Amen.
I don't mean, are you saved?
Right.
I trust that if you're here on a Wednesday night, you're probably saved. I trust that just about everybody sitting under the sound of my voice who is of the age of accountability is saved.
Amen.
But that ain't my question. Are you ready to die?
Right.
Because if there's something between you and God that hasn't been fixed yet, you're not ready.
Right. Amen.
That's right, bro.
You're not ready. If there's something that's between... Now listen, it ain't got to just be between you and God.
That's right.
If there's something between you and a brother, you and a sister, and it ain't been got right yet, you're not ready.
Amen.
You're not ready. Say, but you don't know how bad they hurt me. How bad did you hurt Jesus Christ?
Amen.
How bad did your sin nail Him to that cross?
Amen.
How bad do you think it hurt when the pierced nails go through the everlasting arms of glory and He sat there and bore it without a word?
Right.
And you don't have it in you to get up and swallow your pride and go to a brother or a sister that you may have aught against and say, listen, I've had this in my heart. It's gotten to where I don't want to have to mess with it no more. It's standing between me and God, and I want it out.
Amen.
Right. Amen.
You know why they're so reluctant to do that is because they know it doesn't come with spoils.
Amen.
Yeah.
That's a spiritual battle.
Yeah, dude.
That's right, bro.
But it doesn't come with visible spoils. Well, I was the bigger man. I went and tried to make it right. No, you went just trying to make a show.
Is
there aught against you and a brother? You know what the Bible says? He says if you come to make an offering before the Lord in Matthew 18 and you've got aught against a brother, he said you just would have put the offering down and go get the thing with your brother right and then come back and try to make your offering.
Amen.
That's right.
Then come back and make your offering. Why? Because you ain't going to get no accolades here. The Lord may bless you. Listen, I ain't going to say God's a God of leaving you empty-handed in this life. God is a good God. He'll give you things here. He'll reward you here. Yes, there are rewards to be had here. But if you're looking for rewards here, you're looking for rewards in the wrong place.
Right.
Amen.
Because the way Paul ends 2 Timothy chapter 4, he ends it by he goes through all that stuff. For I am now ready to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand. He gives Timothy the charge. He said, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come they will not endure sound doctrine. He goes through all that stuff. And then he gets to the end. He says, I've fought a good fight. I finished my course. I've kept the faith. Henceforth, there's the spoils. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of what?
Righteousness.
Of righteousness. Which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me.
Yes.
At that day.
Right.
And not to me only, but unto all them also that love His appearing.
That's right, brother. Amen.
There's your spoils.
Yes, it is.
We don't live our life in hopes that spoils come here. If I get my reward here, I don't receive it there. I'd rather Him hold off on my rewards here so that there may be more to show when I get there. Because everything that I get, Brother Mike, when I get there, I can see, man, I'm prayerful, Brother Mike. I really am. I hope I got something to show for Him. I don't have any guarantee that I will. I probably got a lot of wood, hay, and stubble up there.
Right, bro.
I mean, if there's anybody who wants to have a good hot dog dinner, they're going to have one at my turn. But you know, I'm really prayerful. I'm hopeful that when I get there and the fire of His judgment comes and it consumes the works, that whenever some of the things come forth as gold and silver and precious stones, I'm hoping that He can kneel down there and He can pick up some of that stuff and He can fashion a crown out of it and walk over. And I hope He don't put that thing on my head. Because my head's going to be down.
Yeah, amen.
But He walks over and He just sets that thing right there at my hands and He says, well done.
Yeah.
Well done.
That'd be good.
And then I stand up when it's our turn. Because the King of Kings is now ascending His throne that's been prepared for Him, that's been sitting before the foundation of the earth in His name. And as He sits down and the world bows in humble adoration and in admiration and glory and obedience, and the devil himself has to come and kneel before the throne of His judgment and His power, then I can take whatever crown I might have won, whatever reward He may choose to give me, and I'm going to cast it at His feet and spend eternity screaming, Thou art worthy!
Yes.
Thou art worthy.
That's right.
And you know what? What little bit of thought I might have of this place back here and the time I had in it, I'm going to think, thank God He didn't give me my spoils down here.
That's exactly right.
Thank God He didn't give me my spoils down here. And the only thing that I carried in this life as a reward and result of the battles He brought me through were the scars from the stripes.
Amen.
But you know what's wonderful about the scars and the stripes?
That's right, my brother.
They will heal.
Yes.
Because the balm of Gilead is still available. And the rose of Sharon is still blooming in the valleys. Amen. As you walk into the kingdom of God in the manner of and the manner and way that He's escorted you, I'm telling you, man, I got it in my mind. I don't know if it's going to be that way. Brother Chase sees a cabin on the sides of the River of Life. We're going to catch some fish. Man, I see a wedding like you've never experienced in your life. I see the bride of Christ as she goes through the preparing stage of the judgment seat. All the ironing done is wrinkled. The wrinkles and the spots are ironed out. And she's ready. She's prepared. She's adorned as a bride for her husband, the Holy Ghost of God. that got me and joined me to Him, puts me on His arm, says, let's make for the church house. And in the back of the temple of God we go. And at the front is the Father standing with that 1611 King James Bible that we didn't forsake and we didn't put down and we didn't walk away from. When the rest of them were trying to change it, when the rest of them were trying to put it away, we held on to it. And He walks us up to the front of the church house, and there's the bridegroom standing there, and there's the apostles behind Him. And as we step up, the Father says, who giveth this woman to be married to this man? And the Spirit of God says, I joined her to Him. Ephesians 4:30, I've sealed her till the day of redemption. Here's redemption. Here she is, the bride that's been prepared for you.
Amen.
And He's going to hold our hands in His. Brother Chase, He's going to look deep in our eyes, and He's going to say, I did. He ain't going to say, I do. He's going to say, I did. And buddy, we're going to walk out of that place.
Amen.
And boy, we're going to be on His arm, and He's around us. And He's going to walk us through the valley. And boy, we're going to go through the garden of heaven. And He's going to reach down, and He's going to tell the angels, say, look at these roses, Sharon, boy, they're beautiful. Hey, cut some of these and get them on the table for the marriage supper. We fixing to go have us a little meal. And the angel of the Lord reached down and begins to snip some. And I said, man, Lord, don't cut them. They're so beautiful. Lord, let them stay here so they'll stay alive forever. He says, honey, don't nothing die up here. Don't nothing die when it's in My presence. It can't die when it's in My presence. Put that arrangement on that table. We fixing to sit down and have a little fellowship. He'll get done. All the fellowshipping's done. The food's done. He's girded Himself, Brother Chase, and He's come and He's served us there at the table of the Lord. And then we get done. He steps up. He wipes His mouth. He said, y'all enjoy that? Was that good? Yes, Lord, that was wonderful. He said, all right, let's go. We got some business to attend to.
Amen, sir. Amen. Amen.
In the double doors, He pushes, He walks in, and He sits down at the head of a massive table. He says, sit down. I got to give you the battle plan. And as we conclude our meeting, He says, all right, I got one more thing that you're going to need before we go. And He escorts us right down the pathway out of the war room and down into the path. So we go. There's a stable down there. And me and you, we're going to walk down there.
Amen.
And He's going to walk us right into that stable. And boy, there's going to be line upon line of stalls. A white Arabian stallion in every one of them. And above the stall door is going to be your name. And boy, we're going to walk in there. And as we open that door, that thing's got that stallion so beautiful. It's never been sat on by anybody. It's meant for you. And it's not been meant for anybody else. And as you open that door, it bows before the bride of Christ in royal admiration. You swing your leg astride of that massive beast, and it steps up to the edge of the doorway. And buddy, I'm going to tell you, out of nowhere, here comes Joshua. He says, here's a glittering sword. You're going to need this.
Yeah.
Amen. So what about my shield? You don't need one of them. He is your shield.
Amen.
Woo! Boy, I'm ready to go to heaven.
Amen.
Woo! Buddy, we sitting there, and everybody's just getting a feel for it. Boy, it just feels just right. You ain't never rode a horse before. That's okay. You're going to be comfortable as you can be. You're going to fit. Man, I've been doing this for a long time.
Amen.
And all of a sudden, everybody's focus is going to turn.
That's right.
And we're going to be looking right at the front of that stable. The biggest stall of them all, above it, the name written King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And out comes the stallion, as beautiful and as white and pure as He is, as white as He was when He came. He's going to sit astride, and He's going to say, let's go get what's mine. Down through the universe we're going to come. The sparks are going to fly off the hooves of the horses as we trample through the universe, a fire blazing behind us, glory before us, land on the top of the Mount of Olives, and He's going to speak a word, and the valleys or the mountains going to split in two. What is He going to say? Don't know, but I got a pretty good idea. He's going to stand there, and He's going to voice like thunder. He's going to say, I am that I am.
Amen.
Amen. And boy, when that initial army of 200 million plus is in a puddle of blood and it's to the horse's bridle, as he begins to walk down into the valley, he looks at you and me and he says, charge. And once we conclude the king's business, as we return back to Jerusalem, we're going to find him sitting on the throne of David.
That's right.
We're going to walk in and say, Lord, what's next? He's going to say, a 1,000 year honeymoon with my new bride.
Amen.
And the Father says, and I've got a present for you. My goodness, all that you've already done, this beautiful heaven that we just saw, and now we got to see the victory over the devil and his armies. Lord, what else could there be? And out of the way up yonder, it begins to sparkle like a diamond. And as it gets closer and closer, we remember that in Revelation 21, He said, I saw a new heaven and a new earth.
Amen.
For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a voice from heaven. Here's the Father saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and He shall dwell with them, and they shall be His people. And God Himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And as He sits on that throne in all that glory, He says, behold, I make all things new.
Yes, sir.
It is done.
Yes.
I am Alpha and Omega. Guess what? A thousand years is going to go like that. And we sit there and say, man, Lord, the honeymoon's over already. He's going to say, the honeymoon ends and eternity begins.
Yes,
and we'll never be parted.
Amen.
Isn't it worth it knowing all of that?
Yes.
I've tried to paint you a little picture. I hope it's been a clear one. Isn't it worth it to go through all the things that you may have to go through here and not get no spoil from the things you go through down here to know that that's what's waiting?
Amen.
That's all you need.
My goodness. Makes it pretty easy to see how Paul made that trip to glory. And when he come back, he said, I'm now ready to be offered.
Yes, he did.
I fought a good fight, finished my course. I've kept the faith. And he said, henceforth there's laid up for me. What? That's my spoils.
Amen.
I'm not looking for them down here.
Amen. Yes, sir.
I don't want them down here.
That's right.
I want them up there.
Yes,
sir. I'll ask you this evening as I'm concluding this service. I hope it ain't conclusion of the meeting, and I'll tell you why. Because just because I'm going back to North Carolina tomorrow don't mean this meeting has to end.
That's exactly right.
This meeting could carry right on into Sunday morning. You know who it's up to?
That's right.
It's up to y'all. We don't need our spoils now.
That's exactly right, brother.
Sometimes the only fight you're going to have when you get out, or the only thing you're going to have to show for the fight you're going through, is the scars that you're going to carry.
Yeah, that's right.
And that's all. But let me tell you something. If you'd be willing to walk up here and just get in this altar for just a minute and say, Lord, I want to tell you, thank you for the scars.
Yes.
Because listen, when you get to glory, there's only going to be one body that's not going to be perfect like yours. And it'll be His. Them nail-pierced hands.
That's right.
To remind you of the price it took to get you there.
Yes, sir.
For you to have the opportunity now, while it matters, to come up and say, Lord, thank you for the scars.
That's right, brother.
Thank you for the scars.
Amen.
Let's bow our heads.
Amen.
Brother Chase. Fathers, we come in the name of the Almighty God, the only name that we have that we may come by, Lord, the blood that was shed. Thank you so much for this time. God, I couldn't say enough about how blessed we are to have been experiencing what we have tonight. And I ask that, Lord, whatever you choose to do, whatever Brother Chase feels is necessary, I'm asking, Father, if you would just have your will and way with each and every heart that's here. Father, bless these messages. Lord, I've done my best, and I hope it's been a help to somebody. And Lord, as we conclude this service tonight, and we may never see each other again on this side of eternity, but Father, I'll be glad to know I'll see them in glory one of these days.
Yeah, that's right.
But Lord, in the meantime, help us to pray for one another, love one another, encourage one another, and Lord, just do the best we can to serve God together.
Yes.
We pray it in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Brother Chase.
Yeah, we were saying we're going to sing a hymn of invitation.